Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Remember my AppCap from last week,
yeah.
Alto's Odyssey?
Oh, I love that game.
So enjoyed playing it. Today, we get to talk to its lead producer.
Oh, how exciting. I have an app with heart, your heart.
And I have an app with sound in AR.
All around. It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Casper, a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. You can save $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/iOS today. And don't forget to use our promo code iOS Today at checkout. And by Quip. Make a fresh start this year with a Quip electric toothbrush. It cleans like a premium electric toothbrush at a fraction of the cost. Visit getquip.com/twit to get your first refill pack free when you purchase any Quip electric toothbrush. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. Oh, man, I'm excited about this one. iOS Today time. Hello, I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Megan Maroney.
And you, this was your idea. You were playing this game last week. What a beautiful game. And listen to the cello and the music. Mm-hmm. It's called Alto's Odyssey. It's the sequel to an amazing game called Alto's Adventure that we recommended about, I don't know, it seems like 2 years ago,
yeah,
a couple of years
so.
Ago. Alto's
Three
Odyssey is a sandboarding in a beautiful environment. It's an amazing game, sure to be one of those Apple Design Award winners. And we thought we'd talk to the people who made it. How about that?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Welcome, Eli Smit.
Smit.
Tell us again how to pronounce your name.
All of that's correct.
Okay.
I've changed my name now to adapt to your pronunciation.
Thank you. You are the lead producer in Alto's Odyssey. Thank you so much for coming on to talk to us.
Thanks so much for having me, Leo, Megan. Hey, how's it going?
It's great. It's great to see you. Thank you. I'm sure you're fairly busy. Actually, are you busy? Once a game like this comes out, are you done?
It's hard to sort of draw that line. I think, you know, as creators of premium content, games that you pay for once and play forever, I think there is less of an imperative to constantly update them and provide sort of service style features.
Yeah.
So to an extent, I think this game's release is the big event for it, but we plan to continue to update it, of course, to fix any small bugs or quirks and add some more polish that players might be, you know, delighted by, some fun surprises in things like weather patterns and you know, the flora and fauna of the game that players may see some changes to over the course of the, you know, few months ahead. And we're still really steeped in, I think, the interview, as you know, part of the release, but the big, you know, hurrah has passed, and now we're kind of, you know, in the dust that settles, as it were.
So what does it mean to be a lead producer? I know we have a lot of people that watch the show that want to know what it takes to make a video game. What do you do as the lead producer?
Great question. So, production on a game is, I like to think of it as sort of a multidisciplinary role, and it's anything that doesn't directly touch code or art. And by that, I mean, on some days I would be doing things like writing the contract that we would send over to the musician who worked on our game. On other days, I would be running our weekly stand-up to make sure that the game's tasks and development goals were on track. And, you know, at this late stage of the game, I'm doing things like press interviews and post-production bug fix organization. So I'm kind of providing the scaffolding and structure that allows the artists and creators to work on the game in a more, you know, cohesive way.
Yeah, this is such a beautiful game. And I imagine a game like this, you've got a big team. You have artists, you have music designers, you have people who code the engine, you have people who code the design, the levels. You probably have a team 20, 30 people strong, right?
So you can. I mean, this is it's a yes. A game like this could be made by a team like you just described, but we actually were quite a bit leaner than that. So we used Unity as our game's engine, which does allow...
Explain what that is, yeah, first.
So yeah, Unity is a sort of a multi-purpose video game creation engine. So rather than having to build an engine or a scaffolding for your game from scratch, Unity is a much more sort of visually interactive video game creation tool. You still, of course, have to be adept at programming to use it, but it allows you to code and build your game in a scalable way without having to have a team of 20, say. And we took advantage of that and leveraged that. So the core team that created Altos Odyssey is comprised of Harry Nesbitt, based in the UK, based in London. He's the game's lead artist and programmer. He was assisted by another programmer out of Manchester, Joe Granger, and so they're sort of the core programming duo. They were supported on the engineering side here at Snowman by Jason Medeiros, who's our team's lead engineer and designer, and I was the team's sort of lead day-to-day on-the-ground producer, and all of us were supported by Ryan Cash, Snowman's co-founder, as sort of the executive producer and game director manning sort of the top-level stuff. So the core team that created Altos Adventure, separate of our game's musicians, was five people, actually.
Wow.
It looks, the graphics really look hand-drawn. Is that part of Unity, or is that something else what's involved with the art?
Yeah, so Harry's sort of the artist at the helm, and his art style really defines Alto and as a series. Harry's art style, he and I talk a lot about this, is very much driven by the idea of maximizing signal and reducing noise. And so what we mean by that is trying to filter things down to their simplest geometric components to depict things like the cactuses and the bushes you're seeing as you go by, with the same simplicity as the rocks and the dunes and the sun and the sky, to the extent that we really don't want any of that sort of like high fidelity AAA graphical style getting in the way. We want to really focus on a game that feels like it could be hung on your wall as a painting in many ways. Mm-hmm. And we think that simple, bold, clean colors are sort of the way to really accent that art style. So in many ways, we want it to feel like sort of a hand painting in motion in some ways.
But it's more than the art, because the soundtrack is gorgeous too. In mm-hmm. fact, this is one of those apps, and you see them more and more on iPad, that say, put on some headphones. It's going to sound great. So do you don't have a separate designer for music?
We do in this case. So in the case of Altos Odyssey, we really wanted to step our game's music up a notch, I think. And not to say that the game's first soundtrack, which players did really love, wasn't wonderful. Almost got it. Got to watch out for those rocks. but I think for our purposes, I think we wanted to try to focus on sort of depth over breadth. And what I mean by this is, rather than approach a follow-up to a successful game by saying, let's just shovel the kitchen sink in and add tons of things and hundreds of new mechanics, we wanted to take what was there and deepen it and make it richer. So that included the music and the music design. And for that, we actually were really fortunate to be able to approach and work with Todd Baker, who is the game's lead musician and sound designer. You may know him from his work on a game, Monument Valley 2.
Oh, yeah. It has that feeling to it too, doesn't it? Yeah.
So yeah, Todd brings this sort of like, he's really sort of I like to call him like a singular creator. Like, he has a clear vision. And when he came on board, we didn't really have to coach or guide him in any specific direction. We said, what would you do with this world? And he said that in his mind, the best thing you could do is take sort of the procedural generation, the randomness of the terrain, and match it with a soundtrack that sort of was suitably deep and nuanced every time you listen to it. So one of the sort of magical tricks Todd did was compose our core soundtrack in a non-standard time signature. So while it is really beautiful and lovely to listen to, it's never earwormy. You never feel like you're hearing repetitiously or over and over again. And we added into the game's intro, as you sort of sail in, we added sort of varying stings, that we call them, that allow you to hear a bit of a different intro every time you come in. So the idea is, just like there's something new around every corner in this world, we want you to feel musically like you might be listening to something different every time, even though technically the magic behind it is that it really is one core track, but it's just composed in such a way, I think, that doesn't feel that way.
Yeah, it almost sounds generative. It sounds like it's different every time almost.
Really? Well, yeah, we get a lot of players telling us like, oh, yeah, I love the way that your music, you know, adapts to the mood of what's going on screen. And we're like, oh, yes, of course. The way that, yes, that.
We did that on purpose.
And how about like it becomes night and then it's day. How does that, I mean, what's the time sequence there? Is it random?
So no, there is a couple layers here. There's a relatively reliable day and night cycle. So as you progress through the game, you'll get to experience, or we hope you'll get to experience, different sort of times of day, different lighting conditions that make for nice photos that you can snap in our photo mode. And on top of that, we do have somewhat more of a randomized and procedural weather system that allows you to experience different weather from this sort of these biomes that you're moving through, sandstorms and rainstorms and lightning storms and lots of different weather conditions. We've actually deepened that system as well this time by adding a bit of an exciting lunar calendar that sits in the background. So in the same way that you're seeing these sort of stars whiz across the sky, as you play more of this game, you'll get to actually see more sort of lunar events, you know, the deeper into the game you go. So we hope that players will play for a long time and share screenshots of some of the surprising weather and you know, sky events that they didn't expect to see.
It's so beautiful, isn't it? So I'm glad you made this pay to play as opposed to freemium. This is a kind of a blight that's hit the App Store. Games that are apparently free, but then in order to play them for any length of time, you're really going to end up spending money, and sometimes literally hundreds of dollars. What was the decision? I mean, Alto's Adventure was also pay to play. You could make more money, you know.
We could. Yeah, we could. We talk a lot about this as a team. So I think from our perspective, we like to say on Team Alto that, you know, we want to make games that you might sit with for a short time, but that sit with you for a long time after. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is trying to craft an experience that feels like you can take real meaningful ownership over it. And some of our favorite anecdotes and stories from the Alto universe are stories of players who tell us that this is a game that has a therapeutic effect on
them,
and that they use this game to relax at the end of a stressful day.
Yeah.
Or in the case of some players, we've heard really heartwarming stories that, you know, they've gone through tough times like the loss of a loved one or some illness. And this is a game that they take out when they're just feeling at sort of the precipice of being too stressed or scared, and they use it to calm and bring themselves down. So all of this ties into pricing for us, because I think we wanted to allow players to purchase this game, take it with them, and know that whenever they opened it up, it could be sort of there for them, like a dependable friend in a way. And in that sense, I think it just pairs better with the idea that you purchase once and own forever. However, I do agree with you that there is more money to be made in many ways, statistically speaking, on the freemium side. And I think there are wonderful ethical freemium games out there, games like Crossy Road, games like Clash Royale that I play on a regular basis, that I think don't ever make you feel like you have to pay, but reward you generously if you choose to pay and become a paying player. And there are examples of those games done right. But I think for the Alto series, as this sort of magical escape to somewhere new, I think it just suits the idea of paying one, you know, upfront price of admission and owning it forever.
Mm. So I like games with a backstory. I have arguments with people.
There's no backstory. It's just you're sliding.
I have some questions. There might you
might
want to
know more about Alto.
There might be,
is that really
is Alto a man or a woman?
So this is a really, really something we think about a lot, actually. So Alto doesn't have an explicit story, right, Leo? It doesn't have a Star Wars like crawl at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. A long time ago, far, far away.
Yeah, exactly, right. But at the same time, I think something that does separate the Alto series from sort of similar endless running games is that we did design it with what we like to call an implied narrative. So as you read the character descriptions of the characters that you're unlocking as you play, as you see these sort of lovely vistas and moments as you move down the landscape, we like to think that players will craft sort of what we call a player story around their experience with this game. And so from the beginning, Alto as a series was a game about a young shepherd boy. So Alto is a boy in this case, Megan. But with that said, I think we do want to sort of enforce and promote and amplify the idea that any player can see themselves in this game. So we actually have a cast that is majoritively female this time around. So Alto is there, his cousin Maya, who sort of is the adventurous, nimble one that kind of prods the group to go on grander, bigger adventures. She's always got something up her sleeve, is there. There's his, you know, trusty friend Paz, who's kind of the one who's always there carrying the back and being sort of a reliable kind of Sherpa with the group. And then there's Isil, who is sort of the one that runs the workshop. And she's kind of a tinkerer and an engineer, and we like to think that she's sort of like a signal for sort of women in STEM, and I think that's sort of representative there of that. And then there's Felipe, Alto's trusty llama that he brought with him from his hometown. And the final unlockable character, whose name and abilities we don't want to spoil on the show, is a woman this time around. So we like the idea of promoting and having a diverse cast, and we do like to think that sitting in the background of some of the core gameplay is this story of a shepherd boy who grew up, you know, tending to his llamas, but has learned to embrace a sense of exploration and adventure and has ventured out into the wider world and gone outside his comfort zone this time around.
Last week when I was talking about the game, I said, you know, that the first game Alto chased his llamas, and in this game he chases his lemurs. But I was I was corrected on Twitter that the lemurs chase him.
Oh, they chase him. Oh, my.
Right. So I apologize to everyone who will actually.
What percentage of people play in game? You must have metrics on this, some sort of instrumentation. Play Zen versus the game mode. Because I wouldn't want to play anything but Zen.
Yeah, it's my favorite mode too. We're still collecting data on a lot of that. We have some more. I think the first time around it was different because you never know as a developer when you launch a game if it's going to be any sort of success. And being totally transparent and upfront, we don't have the deep level of analytics I think we would have liked in Alto's Adventure, because I don't think we ever knew when we launched it that it was going to be a thing played by enough people to be worth analyzing.
Right.
But with this second game, I know, as a follow-up to a game that had done well for us and that we think, you know, we had players waiting for, and of course just, you know, for long-term scalability, we wanted to implement some of those analytics. So we're still collecting data right now on things like what levels players are spending the most time on, what goals are proving most difficult for players, or, you know, are players using certain items more than others. Anecdotally, I would say that there's a diehard sort of core of players who like to beat the entire game, all 180 goals, all 60 levels. But for a lot of players, just that I hear on Twitter, on Facebook, and through email support, I think they do play maybe a few goals here and there, but they pick up Alto a lot to go to its Zen mode and to relax.
It's very relaxing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even when you crash in Zen mode, all you do is you just get up. You just get up and keep on
crashes
going.
Happen. That's okay. You just move on.
It's like life,
you get right back up.
You learn from your crashes.
Right.
This is unlike a lot of platformers where, no, I think of Mario and stuff like that, where you or even Cuphead, where you have difficult mm-hmm. levels and you play them again and again and again. You're almost training your fast twitch muscles so that you can get through a level. You didn't, even though this is, I guess it's a platformer, really, you didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, there is some on the later levels, like on the sort of
when you haven't gotten very far, maybe that's why I think that.
Well, when you're in the high level, you know, we have 60 total levels, 3 goals per level on our core, like standard mode, where it's more gamified. And at the latter half of the game, we do challenge players to display some of their timing and their mastery and their ability to sort of chain together longer combos, things like bouncing across balloons and swirling.
For a lot of players, that's important.
Vertexes.
Yeah, they want that challenge. Yeah.
They want that challenge, and I think we want to make sure that we're serving players who crave a higher skill ceiling the ability to enjoy themselves as well. That said, I do agree with you that we did. I don't think there was a design intent here at the heart of Alto, certainly Alto's Odyssey and the Alto series as a whole, that said we want you to prove you're a good gamer, quote unquote.
Right.
And I think as a team we like to think that this is a game that my mom, who doesn't even really play games as much, or, you know, someone who is, you know, not necessarily into gaming as aggressively, could pick up and find something enjoyable in, even if they don't play the entire game. And I think we tried to design a game that could be accessible to a wide audience in that way. I love games like Cuphead. I'm a huge fan of that game in particular, and games that do have a more demanding difficulty curve. But I think that for Alto, we wanted to design it to be a little bit more accessible and relaxing.
Yeah. It's the difference, I guess, between casual gaming and hardcore gaming.
I like it.
It is.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say it is. And I also think I think that's a term that's increasingly porous, and yeah. I think it's something that I'm finding that we really enjoy about making games for phones and for tablets. And, you know, these are devices everybody has in their pocket. Some of the most personal things you do in your life, you do on your phone or on your tablet. And I think having a window into people's lives on these devices allows us to kind of connect with them in a way that you might not on a dedicated console experience. And so I think the idea of a casual gamer is itself changing a lot over the years. And I think humans crave play. And I think anybody who enjoys play can and should consider themselves worthy of playing games. And I think for us, Alto's one little, you know, if we can make one little dent in the universe to say, like, here's a game that validates your experience, even if you don't consider yourself a core gamer, I think that's our goal.
I like it in terms of a family game. I have two 12-year-olds and a 14-year-old. And, you know, we do mm-hmm. a lot about, like, oh, no more screen time. And, you know, it really shows there's different types of this. Like, we have an Apple TV in our main living room. And I don't mind if my kids are playing this on the Apple TV while I'm making dinner or something. It's much different than, you know, if they're watching Logan Paul on YouTube on the Apple TV. This is much more pleasant.
And there's no shooting.
Yes.
No, there's no shooting. No, we're definitely gun-free in Alto's universe. And you're right, Megan. I think that first of all, that's really wonderful to hear, and thank you. That's such a warm compliment. I think for us, we hope that this is something that sort of extends beyond a little bit beyond the pure term of what a game is, and for some people can be seen a little bit more as just, as you said, or, you know, a relaxation tool, or it's not on par with sort of this idea of games as time wasters.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Cuphead like looked so interesting to me, but I got really frustrated with
it's
it
too
because
hard.
I'm not a gamer,
yeah,
and it was
hard.
Yeah, so.
And yet, in some ways, this is similar in the sense that the art is unique and there's a style and a very clear style in it, and that it's engaging you. And I think this is what the other thing I really admire, and I've talked about this a lot on this show, is that this game is iPad native or even Apple TV native. It's kind of amazing how well it works on the Apple TV. Mm-hmm. I see so many games that have the controls are so elaborate, they're essentially emulating gamepads. And this is touch. This is exactly what an iPad game should be. It's something with very simple controls that you can manipulate just with your finger touching it, or iPhone, or even with an Apple TV remote, the god-awful Apple TV remote. Mm-hmm. It's actually the best game ever for the Apple TV remote, except for maybe Crossy Road.
Yeah, it's. I think we wanted it to feel at home on touch devices, and I think we wanted it to feel like you were. And we experimented with this during the design of Alto's Odyssey when we first sort of embarked on, you know, this next adventure, and we decided, you know, we've done so many updates to Alto's Adventure, and we feel like we've been, you know, good stewards and shepherds of that world for long enough, and it was time to kind of explore something new. We thought, let's abandon in our heads this idea of what an Alto game is, and let's spend a month doing what we called an Alto jam. Let's just like experiment with cool new mechanics and, you know, rideable animals and grappling hooks and, you know, what could we add to a new Alto game? And I think inevitably what we ran up against was this idea that every time a new idea required players to do more inputs like swipe or turn their device or something like that, it didn't feel like an Alto game. So we kind of established this rule that said with Alto's Odyssey, We're free to do as many new things as we can come up with, as long as the core interaction for players is still one touch, one tap kind of thing. Yeah. And that has held true, and we're happy to have been able to do that this time around.
So we're an iOS show, but we have a lot of people that are cross-platform. When can they expect an Android version of the game?
Right. So what we're saying right now is we have absolute full concrete plans to develop an Android version. We're kind of heads down thinking about the next steps to do that right now. We don't, you know, ripping the Band-Aid, we don't have a release date right now for Android. What we can say is that we hope to have it released in what we're calling the months ahead. And for us, that means we don't want players waiting, you know, by the time next year rolls around at this time, Android players won't still be waiting for the game. You know, certainly before then. We'll absolutely let players know across social media as we arrive at a more exact date, though.
And it sounds like you, because you now have some analytics, maybe tweaking levels and changing levels. Are you planning downloadable content, additional levels, that kind of thing?
So for us, I think the The purity of, you know, having the core game is very important for us. So I think there are things we've noticed right off the bat. There are a few quirks and bugs, and there's, you know, one later level a player has pointed out to us that the goal text for what you're being asked to do doesn't actually line up with the logic that underlies it. You know, we're telling you do X, but you actually achieve the goal once you've done Y. So of course we're going to fix that in a bug, you know, update that allows us to patch in the right text and, of course, sort out any quirks like that. So that's for sure coming. I think for us, we don't plan on altering the core goals that players are being asked to do, because we can't account for the fact that if a player is at level 31 and we change a goal at that level in an update and they download it, that might negatively affect their experience. Yeah. I think for us, content additions to the Alto universe are always with the mind of deepening it and making the player experience more varied. So an example of this is the fact that when we first shipped Adventure, it didn't come with a Zen mode at all. Actually, about, you know, a year or so after that game launched, in response to all the feedback we were hearing from players telling them how much the game helped them relax, we decided to update the game with a Zen mode. And so in doing so, I think we really expanded that game in a meaningful way, and that Zen mode has made its way over to Odyssey. I think if an update like that ever comes to mind for Odyssey, players will probably see that happen in the future. So if there's ever anything that we feel can really become a big plus one to the universe, that's probably the kind of update we would make.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I read that you're going to be presenting at the Game Developer Conference in San Francisco.
Yeah, if anyone wants to come out, if they're there in town, I'm going to be making a presentation on how we crafted and created Alto's merchandise collection and how we brought to life the world of Alto on the merch front in a way that felt meaningful and not chintzy and, you know, not sort of taking advantage of players in the same way that the game itself should feel. So if players are keen on that and they're at the Game Developers Conference, you know, please feel free to swing on by.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's altosodyssey.com is the website.
Team project leader Eli Smith, it's really been a pleasure talking to you. It's so cool to see a game like this and then see the people behind it and understand some of the mechanics behind it. I really appreciate what you've done, and I can't wait to see the next one. I presume there will be another Alto at some point.
I think for us, as long as there are, you know, moods and places that we think are worth exploring in this universe, I think players can count on seeing some more Alto in the future. But thank you both, Leo and Megan, for having me. It's been wonderful to come on, and, you know, thanks so much for taking the time.
Have fun at GDC.
Thanks.
Take
Bye
care.
Now.
That's really neat. What a beautiful game and so much fun. I'm stuck in a cyclone right now, but that's okay. I'll get out of it. Do you play mostly in Zen mode?
I do. What I play, and then, like, I let, like, Burke played on my Apple TV login and got
he
me
got
in
all
it,
the
so
yeah he got all the things
play, and, yeah like yeah. He gets me the extra players.
Yeah, that's what
stuff.
I do with Michael, our 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. He beat Cuphead, not me. Yeah. It might look like I beat it because he played with my account. I don't mind that.
But you know what? If I was playing Zen mode, I probably would definitely do it on my Casper mattress.
You know, this is Alto's Odyssey and Casper. It's a match made in heaven.
Yes.
Because when you lie down on your lovely Casper mattress, and you could count sheep.
Mm-hmm.
But really, what better way to kind of relax, play a little? You won't get very far because you'll be out in minutes. And you won't wake up till the morning because Casper is the best dang mattress you'll ever have. I want you to try a Casper mattress. Better sleep means better everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they mean, well, I don't know what they mean.
I'm better not gonna, everything. Better sleep,
everything's
better
everything. Everything's better in a Casper mattress. On a Casper, it's an online, Casper's an online retailer, premium mattresses that really revolutionized the mattress industry. The Casper guys, what happened was they, you know, as with great entrepreneurs everywhere, they're looking for businesses that don't serve consumers, that, you know, have some inefficiency built in. And boy, there was nothing more inefficient than the mattress store experience, the markup, the unpleasant experience of going into a mattress store and trying out mattresses. They knew they could make it better. They eliminated the markup by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms. That means they pass the savings directly on to you. And then here's how they solve the problem of, well, I want to try it before I buy it. Casper gives you 100 days to return a Casper mattress. So unlike 5 minutes in a mattress store, this is really the way to test a mattress. Free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period. You can see if this mattress suits you. It will. It's the nicest mattress I've ever had. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. How do they do it? It's magic. And its breathable design helps you sleep cool, regulates your temperature throughout the night. It is the best mattress you will ever sleep on. And if you disagree, no problem. You just call them, and within 100 days, they'll come and get it and refund you every penny. It comes in the most convenient box. It's very small, easy. That's one of the reasons both my kids got Casper mattresses for college, because, you know, they could get it up the dorm stairs. It was easy. It came in a box. They open it up. The mattress unfolds. And by the way, you know, it's the first mattress I've ever had where I didn't want to air it out before I slept on it. It was immediately, it's fresh, it's clean, it's wonderful. Casper upholds the highest environmental production standards. They're made in the U.S., but here's the good news. Free shipping and return to the U.S., to Canada, and the U.K. Get a Casper mattress today. You can save $50 on select mattresses if you go to our special page, casper.com/iOS today. We like this so much, we created a page just for you, casper.com/iOS today. Do use the offer code iOS today at checkout so they know you heard it on the show. Casper.com/iOS today with the promo code iOS today to save $50 on selected mattresses. Some terms and conditions apply. You're going to love your Casper. Just try it. So many people, it's funny how many people I've heard from now who said, yeah, I heard you talk about it. I got it. And you're right. Never returned it. Loved it from day one.
Yeah, I love mine too. My kids all have one.
Do they really?
Yep, they have the twins.
I didn't know that.
Yes, we got twins for the twins.
Why is it my children demand queen-size beds? Are they that big? I don't know.
No, my children also demand that, but they
don't get it. Ah, yeah. There's the difference. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've spoiled my children.
You're a twin. You shared the womb. You can.
Michael's on a king
mattress.
He's one kid, 50, but he's a big kid.
He is.
Just to be fair, he's taller than me, so you know he needs the king size.
All right, so tell me what you have, this fancy Apple Watch charger.
Yeah, I wanted to show you this. This is kind of cool. They sell them on Amazon. Actually, a lot of companies sell them. Here was my issue. When I travel, the Apple Watch gets about a day, right? I mean, the new Series 3, I'm getting maybe a day and a half. But the problem is I don't want to bring the big Apple charger along with me. So I found this. This is really cool. This is an Apple Watch charger that fits on your keychain, right? Look
That's
at that.
Nice.
Charges the watch. And now it's about a day's worth of charging. Now, there's a lot of different manufacturers, by the way. In fact, this particular one is no longer available on Amazon. But as soon as you go there, you see currently unavailable. But right at the top, they show four more that look exactly the same. So you pick the one you want. So what you get in this is 700 milliamp hours. So that's about one full charge, maybe a little more for your Apple Watch. It charges, this one charges, and maybe some of the other ones use other connectors. It doesn't use Lightning. It uses a micro USB, but you probably have a few of those cables lying around. Okay. What's nice is I bring this with me. If I'm just going on a couple of day trip, like we're going to Austin at the end of the week, I won't bring my full Apple Watch charger. I'll just bring this along with me. And after, you know, whenever this gets low, I'm just going to charge up the watch. But if you're going on a longer trip, you might still want to bring this with you. And then you don't have to bring this the extra Lightning cable and the extra Apple puck or the extra Apple puck. You can just bring this along and charge it with whatever else you have lying around. I even carry one of those battery packs. We talked about that on New Screensavers on Saturday. So I carry one of those around with me. And that has a micro USB cable with it. So I just plug it into that and I can get another whole day's worth of charging. Anyway, I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, I love that.
I'd never heard of it. And somebody told me about it and I said, yeah, I'm getting this.
I have the Belkin Apple Watch charger, portable Apple Watch charger that is also a battery, a backup battery that I like.
Oh, yeah. I remember
but
that.
Here it is.
But that's bigger.
It's bigger. Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't fit on your keychain.
Yeah. This I just keep in my briefcase because you never know.
Right. I like to keep
it. Might have overnight just at the spur of a moment. Mm-hmm. I also keep a toothbrush and a hairbrush. No, I don't.
Good.
No.
I didn't know where
that would
was
be weird.
Going. Yeah. But yeah, that's nice. Thanks for sharing that with me. All right. So you sent me some news about Google
this
in iMessages.
This is good news, I think. So Google, as everybody knows, Google wants to get on your phone big time, right? And many people have put the Google search app on there. And some people put the Google keyboard, the Gboard, on there. But the problem with third-party keyboards on the iPhone is, frankly, you know, look what happened. Swipe's out of business. SwiftKey was bought by Microsoft. People just aren't using them. I'll send a note to Federal Express. They don't mind if I show their phone number.
Okay.
So now when you go into your messages, you can add a new icon. I'm going to show you, by the way, a trick which you for sure know, but I did not know about. This has gotten out of hand. All of these stickers I have, look at that. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to show you a trick on managing those. What I did is I installed I didn't have to install it. Actually, it's there because if you have Gboard, it's there. Oh. You can drag it. Did you know that? You can just press force touch it and drag it. So you could put it somewhere closer. And now Google Search is built into iMessages. So if I want to, you know, I could do this before with iMessages, but I could say I'm nearby. But let's say it's time for lunch, Megan Maroney. Let's go over to the IHOP. And I can actually add this. I can add this to my, let's see how I do this here. I can add this to my message. Oh, maybe that's share. Yeah, there it is. Okay. I add that to my message and say, lunch. Oh, I'm not on a, L-U-N. There you go. And now I've sent you not only the lunch message, but a I try to send it to American Express.
I just sent you an anime.
For some reason, they don't want to go to lunch with me. I don't understand it.
I know. I was like, that doesn't look like my phone number.
So you can do weather. I'm going to send American Express the weather. Did you know that it's 53 degrees, American Express? Look at that. I'm going to send that. I think we should send that to them. There you go. They don't care about that either. Look at this. They're going to send me another message.
Nah. No, they're done. They told you you must be
a moron. Notice you can search Google and send search results, or you can use the Gboard has a great GIF feature.
Oh,
so
there's mine.
You can send the GIF as well. So that is that. If you already have the Google, I'm not sure if you have to install Gboard or the Google Search app. I think probably the Google Search app, and they can add a sticker. But notice how out of control this is. This is crazy. I got way too many stickers. So if you go all the way to the right and tap more, you'll see there's an edit button here. This was a great relief to me to discover that I can get rid of stickers I don't want.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what? The Last Jedi, that's so last year.
Mm-hmm.
Venmo, I don't use that now. I have the Apple thing. So these are all the apps. And this is one of the reasons it's out of hand. Why does Air France install stickers?
Yeah.
American Airlines, I don't want to send American Airlines stickers. So you can turn off any of the apps that are trying to put stickers in your messages and get them out of your messages. My oven has stickers. What the? Why would my oven?
To advertise. It's kind of a little space to advertise.
We do have Twit stickers. I encourage you to get those and turn those on.
Well, those are good for responding to things.
Right. I'm going to turn off The Last Jedi. I don't want to see that anymore. But TripIt I'm going to turn on because maybe I want to send you my itinerary, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are some useful stickers in there, and you can control them that way, and you can reorder them here as well. So that's a little nice, I didn't even know about. Just go all the way to the right, to the little dots when you're in the sticker section. And you can add more dots. These are the ones I use all the time. Apple Images, Apple Pay, the Google, and Animoji. Who doesn't use those?
I know. I just sent you an Animoji.
You know what I realized? American Express is really wondering what I'm doing. Why are you messing with us?
They're going to send you a fraud.
Stop messing with us. They are. They're going to say, I don't know. Do you know somebody got your phone? I moved up a couple of things. For instance, I forgot all about these little hearts that Apple gave us. They came from the watch and the little hands.
Yeah.
I forgot all about those. And, of course, you got to have a kitty cat. Mm-hmm. So I moved those up.
Right.
Open Table. So, you know, these are nearby good restaurants that I could share with you. Anyway, they're stickers I like. They're stickers I don't. And I can control them. But Google has a new set you might want to check out.
How often do you use the Animoji?
Never.
Yeah.
Do you?
I just sent you one, but I tend to use them.
Is it something about me that... Look, it's Megan the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And a mic drop because she almost ran a mile. You know, 0.02 more miles, you would have got a whole mile. There's no mic drop here. There's no mic drop on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mic drop when you get to one, will you? 0.098 miles. What's this chicken saying?
I don't. It was probably with the dog. The chicken is you talking.
The chicken is me?
Because I was just doing it here while you were talking.
Oh, you got my voice in the chicken?
Uh-huh.
That means I'm going to send you this one again.
Okay. Speaking of Animoji, there are more Animoji coming. according to the beta, to your iPhone 10. A lion, a dragon. What
Will
else?
You use these more?
I don't know, but I really wanted a snake because, as you know, I'm very fond of snakes.
You could, you're in Slytherin, aren't you?
Mm-hmm,
you speak voices down.
Yeah, but that's not coming. But yeah, so a lion, a dragon, and some other, I forget which ones are coming. That's iOS 11.3 beta. Beta 4 for iPhone showed these new animoji. A skull, a lion, a bear, and a dragon.
Skull, a lion, a bear, and a dragon.
Walk into a bar. And
and try to be funny.
All right, let's talk about this rumored event that might happen in March.
A rumored event?
Yes, there is might be more. It's been a year since
March.
Yeah, March.
Because June will be WWDC.
Right. But then last March, there was an event. There was no event. The only announcement, I think, was the Project Red iPhone 7. But we might get that.
Who's rumoring this? Is it Mark Gurman at Bloomberg or is it some lesser pundit?
I heard about it, I think, on Renee Ritchie's podcast.
Oh, all right. Vector. Well, Renee's talking about it. March would be interesting. We are due for, you know what we're due for? New Macs. And one of the rumors was there would be a low-cost, sub-$1,000 MacBook Air. Mm. People still like the MacBook Air, even though it doesn't compete very well with any of Apple's current offerings. It's got a, you know, not a great screen, doesn't have a Retina screen and so forth. But because of that, they could bring it down to $700, $800 and make, I think, a very competitive laptop. Would Apple do that? I don't know. They never, historically, they haven't wanted to do low-cost laptops, but it's nice for them to have a sub-$1,000 laptop, even if it's just $999. Mm-hmm. Schools and so forth really like it. And I think the MacBook Air would be desirable for students.
So. Renee suggested they might have an even cheaper iPad, like the iPad that's now just called iPad. Maybe
$329, even go below
lower
that.
Lower than that.
This would be so different from Apple because historically they've never chased the budget market. Mm-hmm. Although, remember, toward the end with the iPod, once they really saturated the market with the iPod, then they started looking at a much broader variety of iPods, including, you know, sub-$100 iPods. So it maybe there's some precedent for this.
Would you call the iPhone SE the budget market?
Yeah, it's what, 330, something like that?
I mean, I think their price range on iPhones now goes from, I think, 300, mid-300s to 1100.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
crazy
big, yeah.
If you think about it.
And that is a mature product, much like the iPod was, you know, so that's when you start doing that. And maybe you do it with Macs, and maybe you do it with iPads as well. I want to see a new iPad Pro, and I'll tell you what I want to see, and I don't know if we're going to get it, but an iPad Pro that's more like the iPhone 10 that has face recognition, that has more of an edge-to-edge screen. Of course, with a tablet, you still have to have something to hold it with, so I don't know how far to the edge they'd go, but it'd be, you know, you don't need a home button anymore, do you think?
No. Mm-hmm.
I think the UI on the iPhone 10 with the swiping is actually superior. There it is.
But
so,
I use that.
You know, I like this, the ability to do this. I think that's really great.
But
you know?
Can do that on the iPad now. I mean, that's what, like, I can do that, sort of.
Not like that. This is great.
Well, I mean, this is what I do. This is, you know, the iPad.
So. Yeah, but you have to get it. You have to, you know, get it double-click. What is it, double-click
no,
to get into that?
No, you go like that.
Yeah, but to get into that mode.
To get into that mode, you just swipe up like the iPhone.
Oh, you swipe up.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
But if I didn't have this keyboard, it would be. If
I
was just holding
okay.
it in my hand like this.
This is iOS 11. Yeah, I guess that's, I like the swipe. So I'll tell you where I use that a lot, with LastPass, my password manager, where I'm in an app, open LastPass, and I could swipe back and forth very easily. I don't know. I just, that's what I'd like to see.
What about inductive charging on the iPad? Is that something that?
No, that's too big for that. Don't you think?
I don't know how it works, really.
Well, no, I mean, it could do it. It's not that it couldn't do it. I just feel like, what are you going to put this big old thing on a puck?
Yeah.
No.
But it's been a year. These are year olds. I mean.
Yeah, no. We need a new iPad. This would be a good time to announce an iPad Pro, I think. And keep it, I guess the thinking would be separate it from the iPhone announcements, which are going to, you know, eat up all of September. Mm-hmm. So maybe. Remember, though, they have an event in June. It's not unusual. I mean, it is a developer's event, but it's not unusual for them to announce new Macs at the developer's event. Not iPads so much.
Wasn't the HomePod announced at WWDC?
Was it?
I don't remember.
The HomePod, according to this similar rumor, is not selling well. Are you surprised?
I'm not. I am liking it less and less. Okay, so
less and less.
I know. Well, I loved
it. I love that. Was that a tweet you got or an email from the guy who had fallen asleep watching the show?
Yes.
Last week or the week before.
It was a tweet, I think.
And he woke up because his HomePod was blaring Bye Bye Birdie.
That was us.
Triggered by us.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's a terrible way to wake up.
And but he said he was just very tired. It wasn't our content.
We didn't put him to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you're listening now. Bye-bye. Sorry. What about these high-end over-the-ear headphones? These AirPod 2s. Have you heard of
those? So this is confusing to me because when I hear over-the-ear, I don't think of a loop over the ear like an AirPod with a loop. I think of like Beats, like the headphones that cans that go over your ears. So I'm not sure what this rumor, and I suspect the people who are reporting the rumor aren't sure exactly what this rumor means.
Yeah.
Apple's already making headphones, lots of them under the Beats brand.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what you put Siri in a Beats. I don't know. I'm not sure what this would be. So.
Okay. Well, so I forgot my question about the HomePod was we have a big living room. It goes from, you know, the TV all the way through to the kitchen. And I have the HomePod way in the corner, but I like to listen in the kitchen. It doesn't sound very good on the kitchen. Like if I turn it up, it sounds too loud.
Right.
And so I end up using my Echo Show, which is right there in the kitchen, which speakers aren't that great.
So it turns out the best speaker is the one you have nearest you.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to do what you described, the kind of sitting on the couch and just enjoying the feel.
No, but you're too busy. You can't listen to music.
No.
You have to.
No.
And I realized, you know, after I said that there are plenty of times I use music as wallpaper. When I'm getting dressed in the morning, I like to have the Bare Naked Ladies on. Mm-hmm. And I like it because it gets me energized and I feel good. And I do that on my Sonos, and it's throughout the house. So really, I think the HomePod makes sense, but you have to have many of them. You have to have them in everywhere you go.
The kids,
and they're too expensive for that, I think. And too, not even too expensive. They're not that expensive. They're too low functioning.
Yeah.
The kids want it
in the kitchen. They're like, just put it in the kitchen. I'm like, I already got it dirty. I don't want it in the kitchen where my Echo Show is just this black box. I don't care if it gets dirty. I wipe it off.
Yeah.
And then you can't put it in the center of anything because it's got a big plug and that'll just go everywhere. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe in the bedroom? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I have mine, but it's funny because it's sitting on a Sonos speaker in the kitchen and nobody and next to, by the way, as you say, an Echo Show. I also have, that's the one with the screen in the kitchen. I have all three of them kind of clustered. And still Sarah listens on the phone. Mm. I come in. Coming out of her phone. I say, Sarah, I told you, we got a HomePod. We got Sonos. We got an Echo Show.
You can listen to the music you want to listen to. Just talk to it.
So it's funny how people are. You listen to what you listen to.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think that there isn't enough demand for what the few things the HomePod does to make it a desirable product at this point. But it's early days. You know how it is often with a lot of products, and especially with Apple products. The first iteration is just the beginning of a long journey, a long day's journey into profit.
Mm-hmm. Do you follow Thrifter?
I do. I love Thrifter.
I saw this deal. If you have DirecTV, you can get a free Apple TV 4K.
What?
Yeah. Let's make sure this deal is still available.
That's a good deal. I don't have DirecTV. Do you have DirecTV?
I don't have DirecTV. My dad has DirecTV.
You should get a free Apple TV. That's
awesome. But he said it's only for new users, which that kind of thing.
Oh,
really,
this is not
me.
DirecTV. Don't get confused.
Okay.
The name may confuse you. It's AT&T's streaming service, DirecTV Now.
Oh.
So DirecTV Now doesn't involve a satellite dish.
Mm.
It's just like the YouTube TV or the Sling TV or the PlayStation View TV. It's an over-the-top subscription service. So I suspect that's what that is. And that's why the reason that is
DirecTV
Now. Because you put DirecTV Now's app on your Apple TV. That's how you're going to get it. So this is not for people who have DirecTV. This is the opposite. Or so, maybe it's for people who want to get rid of DirecTV.
Okay, so if I is DirecTV, what do I get with DirecTV? Do I get Hulu with DirecTV? Do I get
No.
HBO,
you
Showtime?
You get TV stations.
What is this TV station you speak of? What would I get on that?
So these are they call them over the top services, which isn't the best name, OTT. The idea is you're getting television on top of your internet, not through a TV service like cable television or a satellite service like DirecTV. You're getting it over your existing internet. And so the idea is you subscribe to it and you will get I'm not sure exactly. Remember, we did a review of all of these. DirecTV Now was brand new at the time and didn't work very well. It might work better now. But you can see if you go there, there you go. You get the news channels, you get the sports channels, you get some cable channels, you get MTV. You get 60 live channels. The question is, do you get your locals? And that's going to depend very much on what market you live in. It's a lot. It's $35 a month for the basic system, which is a lot like YouTube TV. I like YouTube TV's interface a little bit better, but really the thing to do is figure out what channels are must-have channels and then see which of these services. You have to look at Sling TV, PlayStation View. You have to look at Google's TV, YouTube TV. You have to look at DirecTV Now, which is from AT&T. AT&T owns DirecTV.
Okay.
So they borrowed the name. And it is confusing because they borrowed it from a satellite TV service, which you wouldn't need if you have DirecTV Now.
For $35 a month, you don't even get the Oxygen Network.
Oh, how could that be? You know, all I care about, YouTube just added this, is Turner Classic Movies, the old movies. Do they have TCM on there?
TCM, yes, for $35 a month.
Yeah. So TCM. You have to look and see. That's what they offer for the $35 Paramount Network, TBS, VH1. Like, the music channels.
No Oxygen, because clearly they hate women.
Well, maybe if you paid a little more, if you weren't such a cheap woman.
Yeah, true.
See, then
$50. You have to go up to the $60 a month.
See how they're turning them on bit by bit?
Yeah.
It ends up being the same as a cable subscription, which is ironic.
I'm happy
because you have to add your internet expense on top of that.
I'm happy with my Netflix, my Hulu, and
well, those are over the top services
Amazon.
Too. But you're going a la carte.
I am going a la carte.
This is the
I don't want
you
any
can
of
eat.
That stuff. Yeah. I just waste my time with that.
Yeah.
All right.
And there's other issues. You know, you have to. It's internet streaming, and you know, if your internet isn't up to snuff, you're not. Mm-hmm. But I think it's nice that they offer you an Apple TV. But that's that's so you can watch it.
I want to talk about my toothbrush, but first I want to tell you that this piece that Kevin Rose wrote in Medium that I thought was interesting.
Boy, is that getting a lot of attention.
You can disconnect and take a break from your iPhone by using this little known feature, which is the Do Not Disturb While Driving feature. He turns it on when he's trying to work.
Huh.
And so you can set your...
You mean like right now?
Like, I guess, like you can set your thing. So he has a little yellow yoga guy and it says, I'm attempting to use my phone less. I will not see these messages right away. I'm not receiving notifications. So this is Do Not Disturb While Driving, which we've talked about a lot, that will you can set in as soon as it turns on, as soon as it notices the movement or connects to your phone, your car's Bluetooth or whatever you set it to, then it can send automatic text messages to people who text you. And instead of just saying, I'm driving, he customized it to say, I'm working.
Now, how does he get it to turn on if he's not in his car?
You can turn on manually. So Do Not Disturb While Driving, and then you just turn it on manually. Okay, I will not, I don't have the text messages sending. I tried to have those text messages and I just felt like I was being rude. And I was also spreading the idea that you have to respond immediately, that I'm going to in the future respond to text messages immediately.
Oh, good point.
Because I don't, and you don't have to. And sending a text message to someone is not an expectation that you're going to respond right away. And I felt like it was just weird to send those text messages. I'm driving because people don't expect me to text them back right away.
Is this an indictment of me because you send text messages to me and I send you back a long message that says, I'm driving right now and I believe in safety, so I am not going to respond to
you. No, because I know what you're doing, but I think a lot of people might not know what that means. And
more will as more and more people use it.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's such a good thing. I'm not going to knock it.
I like the Do Not Disturb.
You just don't send out the message.
I like it because it keeps me
right from
touching my phone. And I definitely felt like when I went to the Pixel and it didn't have that, I found myself reaching for my phone. Now. But now I'm trained with this phone while I'm driving. I know I have to lie to it and say I'm not driving if I want to touch it while I'm driving. But what he's saying, so I think it's a great feature, except I don't have the text message part turned on, which is very easy. You don't have to have the text message part turned on.
Yeah.
I just don't think, I mean, if you are the type of person, if you're a doctor or you, if people expect you
I'm
to
in
respond,
surgery right now, please. Leave me alone. If it's urgent, just text again and I'll stop what I'm doing.
Yes, totally. Don't do that.
No.
Okay, so
was
now...
Is this in the Do Not Disturb section?
Do you know...
Oh, I know why. I was looking on my iPad, which obviously doesn't have a Do Not Disturb While Drive feature. So you have to do this on your phone.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I have.
So I could say don't auto reply. Don't reply. Just say don't reply to anyone. Just no reply. Right.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Activate automatically when I'm in the car. And now he set it to manually.
Right. Which doesn't.
And then you just does he just leave it on all the time?
No, when he's working, I guess maybe he leaves it on all the time.
Activate manually. How do you activate it? Let's see.
Activate manually.
Turn on Do Not Disturb While Driving automatically.
And then from the control
manually,
center.
Manually activate Do Not Disturb While Driving from the control center. Oh.
So then you just.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I can do this. I just press the car button. Oh, Kevin. Now I know why everybody's sharing this. Mm-hmm. By the way, people are asking about this. This was a gift mm-hmm. from one of my favorite people mm-hmm. in the world. Mm-hmm. Myself. No, Megan Maroney.
But you this technically was, did pay for it.
This was when you did the iPhone 10 cases, mm-hmm. and I went back into her office, and she has literally like 5,000 iPhone 10 cases, literally.
5,013,
it's amazing. So I started pawing through them, mm-hmm. and I said, this is nice. This is a leather case. This is the $99, a little overpriced, $99 mm-hmm. iPhone 10 case from Apple. And one of the things I like that a lot of the other cases don't do it. It has a magnet in it, so the phone turns off when you close it. You can actually hear an audible click. I would like to make it so the phone goes into Do Not Disturb.
Oh.
We should hack the iPhone, do that. And you can store stuff in it. So I just, in case anybody finds it, I put a $100 bill in it.
A hundy in there.
That way they'll return it to me, right? Isn't that how it works?
Yep.
If you find somebody's iPhone with a $100 bill in it, you give it back to them. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be better if I put a business card in here with a $100 bill wrapped around it. And a note saying, I heart people who return phones to the tune of another hundo. Mm-hmm. How about that? Or how about if I put I'll put a half $100 bill. Want the other half? Come see me. How about that?
Or just take my iPhone and sell it on eBay.
Anyway,
presumably more.
But
what
I was about to say is that it has slots that can make a wallet. You know, we both used wallet cases for a while, and it made the phone like this fat, mm-hmm. right? This one with I just have a driver's license and a hundo in here, mm-hmm. in case I get pulled over. And and as an officer, perhaps you'd like to take a look inside my phone.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
I wasn't using my phone.
That's, by the way, a sure way to go to jail. I'm just saying. This is still pretty slim. I like it.
I got a Chinese knockoff of it, too, that was like $40.
Yeah, I mean, they're really overcharging for this. I also read in the reviews that it falls apart rapidly, so I'm going to be a tester for that one.
What about phone calls also? That was some people were experiencing, because if you fold it over,
it puts it to sleep. That's what you want.
But when you...
Oh, if you're on... Okay, somebody said, I was on a call, and then I closed the phone and it hung up. Well, duh.
Not that. It's that if you fold it back, it muffles one of the mics.
Okay.
Or the antennas.
Oh, yeah, you have to make your...
Yeah.
That's the real problem with anything that covers the front is uh-huh. that it's that you get the flappy syndrome when uh-huh. you're taking a picture or you're
Hate
on a call.
Flappy syndrome.
Hate the flappy syndrome. But it does, on the bright side, cover the screen. And since that's the most vulnerable part of the phone, I kind of like that. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, people asked about that, so that's the Apple $99 folio case. It comes in black taupe, kind of a hideous blue. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you didn't get that one. And something they call rose red or red.
Yeah,
but
magenta.
It looks more like a fingernail polish. Yeah. It's not a good color.
That's the fake one I got was that color.
Yeah, fingernail polish.
Okay, so you know how much I enjoy talking about my teeth. Just got some
You are all,
work.
Well, you know, if you just... Megan, if you just brushed like you've been taught your whole life after every meal, you wouldn't have that problem.
No, that's just
That's
genetic.
Why I keep a Quip at work. No, I'm not kidding. This is great because the Quip toothbrush is the kind of toothbrush dentists recommend.
I love it.
It's a power toothbrush. It's a very good one. They start at $25. So you can have one at home and you can have one as I do at work. And actually, I just put it back in the test tube because this is really cool. This is, you remove the backing on this strip, and you could just put it on your mirror at work or at home or wherever, you know, at work. And then your brush is right there. It doesn't require charging. Instead, it uses a battery, which I love. And the battery lasts quite a while. I haven't had to replace it yet. So this is and it's a great electric toothbrush. It does all the things a good electric toothbrush does. In fact, I think it's a little bit better. For instance, see, it has the rubber bristles around the outside and then the nylon bristles on the inside. It's got a great vibrating action. And every, I think it's 30 seconds, right? It says go to the next quadrant. So you get, you brush for 2 minutes, four times 30 seconds, up left, up bottom left, upper right, bottom right. I love it. This is the Quip toothbrush. And if you go to getquip.com/twit, you'll get your toothbrush for as little as $25 and your first refill pack free.
That's
yes,
my favorite part.
You don't have to remember to, you know, get new heads. Every 3 months, they send you a new head. So you always, this is another thing dentists recommend. You always want to have a fresh head every 3 months so that, you know, your toothbrush still works. And it's just $5 for the new brush heads, including free shipping worldwide. You might even want to get, I really like it, the Quip toothpaste. So you get this all by subscription. It comes with a mount, goes right on the mirror, on sticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel anywhere. It, by the way, I'm getting a third one. Did I tell you this? For my gym locker.
Oh, smart.
Now that I have a permanent gym locker, I'm keeping a toothbrush there too. This is the secret. Floss and brush, right? I love the Quip. 30-second guiding pulses to alert you when to switch areas. Just it's there's no chargers, there's no wires. Time magazine's best invention of the year. I think 20 years from now we'll look back and say, you know, dental hygiene really took a turn for the better. What was it that caused all this? Oh, it's Quip. It's Quip. Starts at just $25, and you get your first refill pack free when you purchase any Quip electric toothbrush. GetQuip.com/twit. GetQuip.com/twit to get your first refill pack free. We thank Quip so much for their support. Isn't that funny? I like this toothpaste so much, my mouth is watering.
Mm.
It's like, oh, time to brush. Time to brush, Leo.
We can wait if you need to brush your
teeth. I'm like Pavlov's toothbrush dog. This is the other thing I love about this that comes with your little Quip book. I like that, too.
Give us a tip on how to brush our teeth.
All right. You know, I mentioned this before. After you brush your teeth, do not rinse. Mm. Brush AM and PM. I do that, but Lisa makes me do that. Because you don't want to go to bed with sugar on your teeth.
Find yourself a partner who will make you brush your teeth.
First mom and now my wife. It works perfectly. Daytime care. It's great to have one at work because the travel cover, you could carry it around, but they're so inexpensive. Might as well get another one for work. Floss daily. Actually, I floss twice a day. But I love this. So this tells you all the things. Pea-sized paste. Remember you said that? That was really important.
Mm-hmm.
All those toothpaste companies telling you to what is that one with the stripes and they do a long thing and a curl at the end? You're wasting toothpaste. That's crazy. But this is the big one. Wash for me. I didn't even know this. 61 years old and I didn't even know this. Wash, but don't rinse. You always rinsed after I brushed, right?
Mm.
No. To get the full effect of your toothpaste, don't rinse your mouth because the fluoride is working. Okay? I don't know if you need this, but it's good advice. Store your toothbrush away from your toilet and other brushes. Just, you know, don't want to accidentally brush your teeth with the wrong brush.
That's good advice.
Yeah. And by the way, bristles up so they can dry. Isn't that cute? And they have different colors so you can have like his and her. I just love this. You get the 1 month refresh. You get the 3 month refill. You get the 6 month checkup. You get great teeth from Quip. GetQuip.com/twit.
We got some great mail this week. Dan from Sanger, California, he said he just tried out Microsoft's Soundscape app. It's an orientation navigation app that uses 3D audio to help the blind find out what's around you.
Oh.
I used it in combination with Google Maps, and it was awesome. There are times when the reverb is a little much. But other than that, I really liked it. Microsoft is doing some amazing accessibility-related stuff right now.
Yes, this
app is kind of like 3D audio AR. Please remind folks that the app isn't a replacement for their white cane or guide dog and that they should use something like bone conduction headphones when using the app so they can continue to see what's happening around while they're traveling. So it's going to tell me what's around me.
Around you. 20 Slide Studio, close by. Jack in the Box, 290 yards.
I like it that it's an English lady at telling me about Jack in the Box.
IHOP,
my favorite.
So I could set a beacon.
That's Siri's voice. That's not Microsoft's voice. Or is it Microsoft?
It's a Microsoft app.
It's Cortana? So, that doesn't, but it's British. That's interesting.
This is a Veda app. So I could say I wanted to walk to IHOP. What you can't tell is those tapping. If you were wearing headphones, it would be tapping on the direction that
Oh my God, like tapping on your left shoulder?
So it is like the white cane. It's not a replacement for the white cane, but it is like the cane. That's how like the white cane works.
That's so cool.
And so I wish I thought I was going to be able to show it on my iPad so you could maybe hear it in stereo. But
with headphones, though, you'd hear it in stereo.
Yeah. So it's sort of...
That is really neat.
They are working on trying to make virtual reality more accessible. So that is kind of... So it would be 3D sound. So sound for... people, with visual impairments.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true that Microsoft is doing some really interesting things. It's made with something called Cane Troller, which is what Microsoft's working on. And Cane Troller is like to simulate the cane.
There's some pretty smart AI going on, though, because mm-hmm. obviously they don't walk around with a cane in every part of the world. They have to figure it out from, I guess, their Bing Maps.
Right.
That's pretty impressive.
So
that's really neat.
Yeah. So
I mean, obviously, you're still going to have your guide dog, or you're going to have your cane, or somebody walking with you. But this would be really, really nice to have. That's what a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
So Marsworm in the chat room is asking about white cane for when you use people.
You know, your cane. You've seen people use their canes. They have special tips on the end. They could see what's going on.
And so the idea would be like you could experience virtual reality worlds as well. By moving around.
I think they're probably learning a lot about that from this. That's really, really great.
It works really well with AirPods. I tried it with AirPods, and I tried to navigate around with it, and it's very interesting.
Fun.
So thank you, Daniel.
Good tip.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it has the benefits of reducing stress if you're out in the world, and you can't, it just helps you. It's another help.
I actually use the Apple Maps on my Apple Watch in that way a little bit, because if you have directions and as you're walking, you don't have to hold your phone like this, your watch will tap you when it's time to turn.
Or driving. I found that very useful with driving. Yeah.
And with the taptic feedback, it really is like, time to turn.
Yeah.
It's really great.
It's very pleasant.
Excuse me, Leo, time to turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very pleasant. Put my watch on upside down. Ever do that?
I do sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Silly.
Especially with that band. That band's easy to do. Victor writes, hi there, Leo and Megan, hi from Portugal. In one of the last shows, 383, there was a question about groups and contacts. Remember, we were talking about how to create groups and contacts so you could put do not disturb, allow certain groups to disturb you. There used to be an app from Agile Tortoise named Interact that allowed you to create groups in the iPhone. Agile Tortoise, that's the same guys who make Drafts.
Yes.
Your favorite app.
Yep.
Sadly, they've decided to remove it from the App Store about a week ago in order to focus on other work.
Oh.
And in order to focus on Drafts
because
you like it so much. But anyway, anyone like me who still has the app installed may use it to manage groups without needing to use a full computer. At this time, the only app I know of that allows you to manage contact groups is Groups by Cubic. It's less polished than Interact, but it may help get the job done. Remember, the problem is, unless you request the desktop site on your iPhone or iPad, you have to go to a laptop to create the group. So I downloaded Groups, and it seems like a really interesting app. It has, you can access your contacts, so I'm going to put this away so you don't see all my contacts. That's fine. It's
how
only
did you get
names.
It? I thought it was off the store.
This is by Cubix, not by Agile.
Oh, this is a different one. Oh,
so if you still
okay.
have Interact by Agile Source, you can still use it.
Right.
But
I wish I downloaded it.
I know, me too. I read about them that they were they had an interesting blog entry about why they were removing it.
Well, it's just one guy, right?
Agile Tortoise?
Yeah.
Tortoise. Why do I keep saying Tortoise?
Tortoise.
Okay, now you can show my screen.
Agile Tortoise would be a great name for a company, though.
It would. So this is your giant contacts list. You can organize it into groups. Groups can notify you when people receive your messages and remind you to follow up. I used to use Groups and email a lot, but I sort of stopped using it, and I don't really have, well, with text messages, I get frustrated because you can only create groups if everyone's on an iPhone. And that's super frustrating. So you can select a contact, choose an action.
You've become sensitized by your use of the Pixel phone.
Yeah.
That's good. You're now, you understand what it's like to be a green bubble.
I can.
Yeah. No longer are you biased against the rest of the world because you're an iPhone user.
That's true. So you can use this to create email groups or text message groups or reminder groups or any kind of thing. This is very cool.
I'm going to get it. What's it called? Quick
Group. Groups, but if you want to find it, you have to search Cubix,
Q-B-I-X. Cubix Groups.
So nice. Thank you very much,
Wait a minute. Why Daniel. Is it in Spanish? Or Portuguese? What did you go to the Portuguese app store?
Maybe. Maybe I did. Maybe.
Okay.
Victor? Wait, why was Victor doing it? Yeah, that was the Portuguese. Yeah, PT.
Yeah. Oh, I get
Blame
it.
Victor.
That was his screenshot.
Oh, Victor. I said it was Daniel. Thank you, Victor.
Victor from Portugal sent us that. Okay.
Victor.
Hi, Victor.
Yes.
Sorry.
Victor from Portugal.
Abrigado.
That makes perfect sense now. Okay. Mark asks.
Is that his name? Oh, hi, Mark.
You can use that when you answer his question. I can't remember what show it was, but Leo mentioned that he got computer glasses that he really liked and were helpful. Now, speak to Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark. So the... we had a sponsor, Felix Gray, that makes great computer glasses, F-E-L-I-X-G-R-A-Y. But when at the time, they didn't do prescription glasses. I think they do now. But so what I did instead was, because I was sold, this whole idea was great. Lisa uses the Felix Gray. She loves them. So I went to my optometrist, the person who, you know, tests your eyes for glasses. And I said, please, Mr. Optometrist, would you give me computer glasses? And she said, I'm a lady. And then she said, okay, tell me how far your screen will be. And I'm going to use it. I don't need it for my laptop or my iPad, but I need it at my desk. Because I have progressives. And so when I'm looking down at a laptop or an iPad, actually, it's very easy for me to read. But it's when it's out in front of me that it goes from the reading glasses to the normal distance glasses. And it's not great. So I told her, well, it's this far, and she measured it. It was 27 inches, which is about right, arm's length, right? And it's at eye level. And now this is what you want to do with your optometrist. I think you need to get a prescription. You really want to get a prescription for these. She added a diopter or so. I can't remember. I think 1.5 or maybe 2, a little magnification. She also wrote on the prescription, you know, this is the regular prescription. For computer glasses, do this. And that was add the diopter. Then when I went to the optician, the person who makes the glasses, I said, I have a prescription for computer glasses. She looked at it and I said, can you make some for me? And most opticians will say yes. And what we'll add is typically blue blocking, because the blue from the screen, as you know, can bother some people, especially at night. So they add a little bit of blue blocking. I don't notice it, and it didn't tint the lenses or anything, so it mustn't be much. And I think she added some anti-glare. Not a coating. I think she did something in the lens. And anyway, again, optometrist for the prescription and optician for the glasses. And almost, I would be shocked if an optometrist and an optician didn't know what you were talking about when you said this is going to be from computer use. But if they don't, you say, well, I want a little magnification. I'd like some blue blocking. And that's what I use. And I have to say, it's a slight difference, but it's enough, because sometimes I sit down on my computer, I put on the glasses, I got different frames so I know which is which, type along, and then I get up and I forget. And I walk off and I try to watch TV and I can't, it's like, I can't quite see it. Oh, I got my computer glasses on. I have to go and I switch them off. So it is enough of a difference, especially in distance and I have to say, even though it doesn't feel that different, when I'm much more comfortable. I was saying to you yesterday, I spent most of the day sitting in front of the computer, which is probably not a good thing.
But, so you're not talking about the iPad. Like, do you need the glasses for the
I iPad? Don't, because it's down here. But if you felt like you needed them, then this would be something you could do for that. I have, remember, because I'm an old man, I have progressive lenses that are the reading glasses. If you get over 40, you'll understand. Believe me, you must use reading glasses.
I'm not over 40.
Oh, of course. That's right. Well, when you get to 40, you'll know.
I thought I needed reading glasses, interestingly enough, right when I started this job, because I was adjusting, because my previous job, I didn't spend as much time on the computer. And so I was like, oh, I can't read at night anymore. And why are these prescription bottles so small?
Yes. That's called age. Yeah, it seems like all the restaurants got darker and the menu print got smaller,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, really.
That's it.
It's true. They're trying to save space or something.
And then you get reading glasses, or you get, if you have prescription glasses, they used to be bifocals, but now they call them progressives because there's no obvious. You know, Ben Franklin invented bifocals.
Oh.
Yeah, but there's no visible line anymore. It's just a progressive, so it's easier when you're looking down. I can see better. Although I'm wearing my contacts right now, and they do make contacts reading like that. Lisa just got them. I guess they're a little heavier. So I don't know. They're thicker at the bottom, but I don't use those, and I still can see this just fine. So in any event, ask your optometrist and your optician. I'll tell you who gave me the idea. Felix Gray, of course, our sponsor. But Amy Webb, who's a regular on Twit, her husband's an ophthalmologist. That's another opt.
Oh.
That's the eye surgeon, right? So there's a physician, an ophthalmologist. There's a trained optician who does the prescriptions. And then there's the optician that makes the glasses. Optician, optometrist, ophthalmologist. So he's an ophthalmologist. She said he's big on this whole idea. He thinks it's a very, very good idea as an ophthalmologist.
Ophthalmology Today.
Yeah. Everything you'd ever want to know about eyes.
You.
Well, he asked, so I answered.
Yeah.
Over-answered, I should say.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes.
Brian has an interesting question. He's from Leeds in the UK. Mm. I have decided to go all in on the Apple ecosystem.
I did it.
An iMac 5K,
yep.
iPad Pro,
yep.
MacBook, Apple Watch,
yep.
and the iPhone 10
yep.
later. I am living la vida Apple. My last yep. holdout of my previous Windows life was my Outlook.com account and Microsoft Office.
Yuck.
I've moved my email over to iCloud and all of my documents over
wow.
to the iCloud Drive.
It really is.
My question is, do you think Apple will actively develop iWork? I don't want to start redrafting my documents and pages, numbers, et cetera, and learn how to use them if Apple isn't going to continue to develop the iWork suite of apps. What do you think? Should I stick with Office, or is it safe to shift my workflow over to iWork?
I would not.
I don't even know a single person who uses iWork.
iWork hasn't been updated in years. The real problem is that these Office suites are kind of getting thrown out by things like Google Drive.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. You can read and write your Microsoft Office documents in iWork, in pages and numbers and all that, but I would absolutely not start doing stuff in iWork, not only because Apple really hasn't shown any love for it, but also you're going to be sharing your documents with people who aren't living la vida Apple, and so they need to read it, and if it's still in the doc or docx format, the Word format, that's probably a better idea. I do not create stuff in Pages, Numbers, and Keynote. They're good. Actually, Keynote is a little different. I actually prefer Keynote to PowerPoint. But those presentations I'm not sharing. Those are just for me.
Mm-hmm.
You
just make presentations.
It really doesn't seem like Apple likes iWork at all. They haven't. Yeah, just for me. I do little slideshows in my bedroom.
Okay.
And now I'd like to tell you a little bit about
Docs and, Google.
We use Google Sheets. Docs. Here in the office, and that's fine.
Yeah, Sheets, though. Then they're getting better and better on the iPad and the iPhone. I mean, I often work in Google Sheets on the iPhone 10. It's very easy. You can drag and drop. That was the other thing Google announced. Now you can drag and drop on the iPad in Google Docs and Google Sheets.
Yeah, and for that reason, I probably wouldn't, if you don't already have it, buy Office for the Mac. You can. Microsoft Office for the Mac is feature equivalent. In fact, they've unified the code base now, so it will be a complete parity with Office for Windows. So if you really, if I were an accountant and using Excel all the time, or if I were an author and sending Word documents off to my publisher, many publishers prefer Word documents, I'd probably get Office. But I think you can do everything you want to do in Google or in the Office for the web. Don't forget, both Apple and Microsoft offer free versions of their Office apps on the web. If you go to iCloud.com, you'll see Pages, Keynote, and Numbers right there. It's not fully featured, just like Microsoft's Office for the Web is not fully featured. But for most people, it does everything that they want to do. Mm-hmm. I would, unless you know you're going to need it, I wouldn't buy Microsoft Office, but nor would I buy iWork or convert everything to iWork. But, it's interesting what he's doing because, and I've kind of done that too, everything works better if you're all Apple, right? So even though I work in many different, I kind of have a Windows ecosystem as well, but it was the Apple Watch that finally did, did the trick. Once I kind of, because of drafts and activity, I end up wearing the Apple Watch every day. And once I'm wearing that every day, then it just kind of cascades on down. You have the iPhone. Now that's my everyday because I need it with the Apple Watch, iPad. and then now Mac. And so eventually Apple has made it. And I don't think this is a good thing necessarily. Kind of that's how you're going to work. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a good thing at all. I think ecosystem lock-in is bad for consumers. It's good for businesses, bad for consumers. On the other hand, they've made it so that it's the best way to work. Mm-hmm. You're probably in that.
I am pretty much. I mean, I use Docs and I use Google.
Yeah. Google. That's the biggest threat to Apple. It's one of the reasons Apple hasn't updated iWork, mm-hmm. I believe. And mm-hmm. it's a big threat to Microsoft as well.
I love Google Docs in terms of just being able to look back at everything so easily.
And it's on every device. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of shared documents. And for that reason alone, it's really a good solution.
It's not on your Apple Watch, though, Google Docs.
No, Drafts, to me, Drafts is the bridge. That's why I like this Agile Tortoise program. Or as Megan says, Agile Tourist program, Drafts, because it becomes my, data entry on the watch, and then everything flows. The only thing, they don't have a desktop version yet, and he said he's working on it. He says it's hard to do, but he would like to do a desktop version. And maybe that's why they stopped selling the other program.
Yeah, Interact. Mm-hmm. All right. We have our app cabs, but first we have our beds, our toothbrushes. Oh, now we need a house to live in.
Oh, my gosh. I have to congratulate Quicken Loans. And I have to take some credit for this. We've been talking a lot about Quicken Loans, how they're number one in customer satisfaction, 8 years running from J.D. Power. And I've mentioned a couple of times they're the number two lender in the country right after the big bank. Guess what?
What?
As of a couple of months ago, Quicken Loans is now the number one lender in the country. They beat that big bank for obvious reasons, and mm-hmm. I think I want to take some credit. I think Rocket Mortgage had a lot to do with it.
You should take all the credit.
All the credit in the mm-hmm. world. Congratulations, Quicken Loans, the number one, I can now say it, the number one lender in the country, both in the number of loans and in your hearts with customer mm-hmm. satisfaction, especially now that they've created something called Rocket Mortgage. The idea of going to the bank, putting on a tie, going to the bank to fill out a 20-page application and beg for a loan is so old school, let alone the fact that after you do that, you have to go back home and go through your boxes of paper trying to find bank statements and pay stubs, and then you have to fax it to them. Fax it. it's like 19th century, a reinvention of how, people got home loans, and this is it. A client-focused technological revolution. No more going to the bank. No more putting on a tie. In fact, you can do the whole thing from your Casper mattress. You could do it at an open house. It's so easy. You just pull out your phone, your tablet, your computer, and go to rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. By the way, not just for a home loan, they do refis too, and now would be a very smart time to get a refi. The interest rates are going up. Rocket Mortgage, once you go there, you'll find not a 20-page application, but just a few questions you probably already know the answer to: name, address, birth date, that kind of thing. Then, because they have relationships with all the financial institutions, all you have to do is say, yeah, I give you permission. They'll access. You don't have to go to the banker box and look through everything. They'll do it. They get all the information they need. They crunch the numbers, and based on your income and your assets and your credit, they'll analyze all the home loan options you qualify for and find the one that's just right for you. You choose the term, rate, and down payment, and then you say, yeah, that's the one, and that's it. And they say you're approved. And that happened Not in months or weeks or days, but that happened in minutes while you're at the open house, before you even had time to brew your cup of coffee in the morning. RocketMortgage.com/iOS today. RocketMortgage.com/iOS today. It could not be simpler. It is the modern way to get a home loan or a refi. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And now, yes, Quicken Loans, number one lender in the country. And what a great product. RocketMortgage.com/iOS today. It was cold this morning.
It was.
So I've decided to put on my fur to keep my head warm. And you're getting ready for May Day.
Yes. Or, I don't know, a music festival.
We are wearing funny caps because it's App Cap Award time. Do you want to describe my hat?
Yeah. You're some kind of tennis player, I believe.
It's like a baseball cap. With hair attached.
Yeah, that is not your hair. It wasn't just
but
like
you
a
know,
super
strangely, it does
you.
Match my color.
It does. It really does look like your hair in a
it
lot of
It looks like
ways.
I'm wearing one of those, those visors that has mm-hmm. no hat, and my hair is just sticking up through it.
That's what your hair looks ahead, like you when can... you come in on Thursdays and Fridays.
Yeah. It's the Andre Agassi hat.
Oh, that's who it is.
You're wearing a fetching wreath of flowers.
Yes.
It
appears like we're both wearing Snapchat filters, but this is real life. This is real life.
We should rename this, not the app cap, but the Snapchat filter app of the day.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So are you ready for an app that will teach you about life and love?
Good God, no. I enjoy learning it all on my own.
Okay. This is called Florence.
Oh, this would be for young people.
No, it's for anyone. It's anyone who likes story games.
Oh, I kind of like this. Look at her hair's blowing in the wind. Yes. But she's It's like it is a little bit like a young adult book. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, like Svetlana would do this, right?
It's Annapurna Interactive, who made makers of Monument Valley.
I love Anna.
So let's play.
Ms. Perna, we call her.
Okay, so I'm already on chapter 4.
Oh, you really know about life.
I do. I know a lot. Maybe let's see if we can start over. Yes, let's return to the main menu.
Let's begin life at the beginning.
Chapters. Let's start with Act 1, Adult Life.
Adult Life.
Are you ready to experience
adult life? So is this a game, an educational tool?
It's a game. It's both, Leo. It is a tool and a toy.
I want to learn about adult life.
Okay,
what's it like?
She's 25 years old, yep. Frances Yeo.
I should send this to
turn
my
off
25-year-old daughter.
Yes. That does look a little bit like Abby. Okay, I'm going to snooze it.
Don't do that. She's now late for work. Oh, she got her quick toothbrush.
Got to brush my teeth.
Do you have to drag it? Oh, you actually have to tap it to brush.
She
should really get
a quip
that would be electric.
I forget what I had to do.
Do you drag it to the thing? No.
What do you think I did?
What is that bar? It's filling up.
Why is it? What did I do?
Up and down. You forgot. You've had a quip so long you forgot how to brush.
Up and down.
Jeez Louise.
There we go.
Okay.
Okay.
Get your tank top on.
I can like some photos.
Oh, you're swiping. Swipe left.
I don't like with people that do food. I guess I can't do that. I have to like it or retweet it. I don't have other than their choices.
Oh, what is this? Is retweet the other?
Yeah.
Oh, you're on your Twitter feed.
I guess so, yeah. But I thought I could just swipe by it.
Anything to pass the time in the
subway. All right, it's 9 o'clock.
You made it to work.
There's my iWork.
Oh, my gosh.
So what do you think?
You're doing spreadsheets.
What do you think I have to do with these numbers?
Oh, sort them? Match them. Oh, yes. It's a matching game. Mm-hmm. Okay. Boy, that's hard. I don't know if I could do that.
It gets harder. Life gets harder.
Does it really?
Do you remember what it was like at 25?
Yeah.
Okay, should
I
answer?
Oh, mom's calling, of course.
Not? What do you think?
Yes, answer it. It's your mother.
Okay. Hello.
Okay. Oh, she speaks Chinese.
I'm fine. I was going to say, are you sure that's Chinese? But of course you are sure that's Chinese because you are
Why
Chinese
is she speaking
major.
Chinese? Am I Chinese in this game?
I think so. Her name is Frances Yeo.
Oh, Yeo.
Are you fine or yeah, I know? What should I say?
Yeah, I know.
Should I say I'm busy or talk to you later? What would you say to your mom?
Talk to you later, mama. Love you.
Love you.
Make sure you say I love you.
Okay.
Okay, nothing.
Nothing, just
work
or I'm fine. What does your mom
need fine,
to know?
I'm fine. Okay, she wants to know you're fine.
Yeah, okay, good.
Usually it goes the other way, by the way, the calls.
All right.
Oh,
it's
she's having sushi.
Time. Should we eat slowly or?
Yeah. No, eat it all quick.
Eat in front of the TV. I don't know, Frances.
Boy,
this isn't the healthiest behavior.
This is the most depressing game I've ever seen. Is this really what it's like to have an adult life?
All right. Well, we're brushing
again
our teeth
with the teeth. So she's, no.
Yeah.
Up and down. Up and down. What
she
am I going to teach
one
you?
She side, too.
She's a lefty.
Frances probably should have gone to bed earlier, but...
Oh, no wonder she's sleeping in.
That is adult life, my friends.
Oh, my God. It's even more boring than the real thing.
So, I love this game. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry,
actually. Did you never have an adult life?
Okay, so I'm looking through my memory box. This fell down.
It hit you in the head, and look what's inside. It's a map... To your future.
No, to my past. Like, Frances, 7 years
so
old.
Cute. Oh, and suddenly then, she's in... So that's interesting. Her memories are in color, but she's black and white.
Yeah, so I get to paint this. I can change the color here.
Wow.
Nice soundtrack, too, don't you think?
Da-da-da-da-da. Did you really like this game?
I do like this game. It reminds me a lot of the other game that we were playing, the Altos Odyssey. It's just soothing. Like you can spend time with the game.
Yeah.
And then
that's fun.
The time is not.
That's
you know,
fun. That's
well, I guess
cute.
I'm not done.
I feel like it's for 3-year-olds, but okay,
no,
whatever.
No. 3-year-olds.
No, it's not for 3-year-olds.
No.
No.
She was 25.
Yeah, but But the players.
Now I'm seven. Okay, I'm done with
yeah,
that.
You're seven.
And
oh, Frances, oh, this mom. She does mom. Not like. She has mom issues.
Making her do
homework.
She doesn't
homework. Like her mom. Look at her mom's growling. She's don't you a feel... tiger mom. Homework.
Okay. Ugh.
You don't even know how to do math, do you?
No. Oh.
16 plus 2. Come on. Just
oh,
drag
I gotta
it,
move
there.
It there.
Yeah.
I'm only seven.
Are we really doing math?
It's soothing.
No, it's not.
You don't find math soothing?
Boy, you are really bad at math. I can't believe you. Six, please.
I'm trying to channel.
You're making me crazy.
At that moment, Florence was going to do the math to rebel against, do the math wrong to rebel against her mom, obviously. Look at her friends.
She's so rebellious.
Okay, so then you could go what to
Let's,
age.
Yes, can you spin around really fast? Oh, look, she's aging.
Look, she look.
Wow,
look
our little girls, look how fast they grow up.
Oh,
that's
oh,
very cute. Oh, look. So you can see all the different ages. That's she's a teenager. 19. She looks 19. The same as an adult that she did as a teenager. That's
yeah.
interesting. She hasn't changed at all.
No, she's 25.
This is kind of poignant.
It is. Look, that's my drawing.
Oh.
That's my drawing.
So you kind of went back in time.
Yeah.
Maybe her mom will call.
Maybe. Oh, chapter 3 music. That's
interesting. Oh, we get to listen to some music.
Okay. I'm going to keep playing this because it's so soothing to me. Okay, I guess I'll like all these photos,
oh,
even
man.
Though I don't like
Twitter's
them.
Invaded this poor woman's life.
Oh, I
retweet
the dog photo, obviously. Retweet the
do not
oh,
like. Battery
no.
dead. Uh-oh, now what do you do?
Now I have no idea.
This is very hyper-realistic.
I don't know. I'm feeling tough.
Oh, she has to take off her music? She has to take off her phone?
Music.
She sees a poster for a music concert. Oh, it's cello.
Do you hear it?
I hear the cello.
She's floating.
Oh, this is kind of cool. She is. She's gone up in the air now.
See, you
and
feel
the people
this,
are fading away.
You feel the same way about this game as I felt about that game you played for a year with the fighting and the pigs and the thing you did with John that I thought was so dumb. So we have different
tastes, different lives,
different
interests.
Likes, different interests.
It does seem kind of gender tainted a little bit. This is like the kind of thing
a
woman
a
would like. Yeah. Oh, he's cute.
He is.
Yeah. And like all cute dudes, he doesn't shave frequently. I don't understand
plays the
that
cello.
One at all. Whatever happened to shaving? Oh, now she's got a heart.
Yeah.
She's kind of there's a little heart though.
It is.
It's not a big heart yet. She's just thinking about him.
Why is only that one the only one that's in?
That was Act 1. Let's go to Act 2. I just want. Let's do the crash. I just want to see what happens. Are you? Is your car going to crash? Because that's the. She bikes. Her bike's going to crash.
Uh-oh.
She sees the dude. There's
turning.
The cello, and she's got a slide rule. What's going on here?
I don't know what these are.
Oh, she's trying. Oh, she needs to go to the optometrist.
This is focus. Yeah. Look, we're going to focus in.
Yeah, she's got to get glasses.
There we
That's
go.
What happens at the age of
there
25.
There we go. Yep.
Yep. Okay. She's got her progressive lenses on.
Now, what do
you
I
brought
do?
It out of focus.
Do you think it has to be in perfect focus?
Yeah, and then you can say hi. Tap him. What do you do? What do you do?
I don't know.
What will you do? Is there no other buttons?
Help. What do you think I do? Maybe I'm not exactly.
This is why you're going to crash, because you're busy messing around with your slide rule. You can't bicycle and slide rule at the same time. Meanwhile, back at my app.
All right, so.
I'm going to attack you with my pigs get some donuts. Oh, his shirt's in color.
Something happened. Oh, okay.
You did it. You unlocked it. And now.
Uh-oh.
Your bicycle hits the curb, and you are dead. Well, that was a fun game.
I don't think she's dead, but download the app to figure out what happens to Florence.
That's good. Good cliffhanger.
$2.99.
What? I'm going to pay $3 for that?
Oh, spoilers.
Spoiler alert. The guy still didn't shave, but now he's in your bedroom.
Okay.
Brushing his teeth with your toothbrush. Now how do you feel?
Here we go.
You're stuck in the crash.
Oh,
you got to bring the crash into focus.
Yeah. You probably want to talk about your app, but...
My app is going to save your life. You know, the life you're pretending to live right now on that silly game.
Oh, my gosh. Are you really making fun of me playing games?
No, I wouldn't. Actually, this game, this thing, has this been around for a while?
No, Florence?
No, the app Apple Heart Project.
It's been around for a couple months, but yeah, I'm on it too. Let's check this out.
So it's the Apple Heart Study. You can do it for free. You need to have an Apple Watch and an iPhone, obviously. You put the app on your iPhone. It's free to download. It's not so much for you, but it's to help, and you will get a benefit of it. The idea is if you wear, and I've only been doing it for 5 days, but if you wear your Apple Watch, it is going to collect measurements of your heart. And it says, depending on how active you are, one or more samples may be collected each day. You don't know. I didn't know. It does, mm-hmm. Automatically. But it puts you in the Stanford University Apple Heart Study.
Well, you've done it for 5 days. I've done it for 7 days. You have 12 and I have 8.
I work out more, or maybe because I'm older. Now, this is not, there are limitations. You have to be 22 or older. You have to give them permission to collect this information. And you can't have had, there's some conditions like AFib that you can't have, because what they're looking for is if they can use the Apple Watch to predict and diagnose arterial fibrillation or AFib, which is a silent killer. It is very common. It's a form of heart disease. And so they're just monitoring. Now, this is that. So you're helping with the study. The more data they have, the better they can understand. I guess the idea is that maybe Megan will go into arterial fibrillation and they can say, hey, we knew that.
Would they let me know if I was
That's where you get the benefit.
Okay.
If they notice an irregularity, this is the information on the Apple page. And if they notice an irregularity, a board certified physician will call you and talk to you about it. And they may recommend at no cost to you that they send you out some electrodes that you wear for a week to monitor your heart. The idea is that with this data, they're going to be able to diagnose early diagnostics of heart irregularities. So you're helping this study, which is fabulous, and you do get a side benefit. If something is going on, and I think they had probably ethically, they really had to do this. If they notice something's going on, they'll let you know. So scroll up a little bit more to a notification. No, the other way. Up is above. Yeah. After the notification, you'll receive a free video consultation with a board-certified physician. So if there is an issue, they'll make a FaceTime call to you or a video call to you. And you can consult with a doctor. So this is, there is certainly some benefit to this. And they may recommend at no charge to you this BioTelemetry ECG patch. And that's, I think, to gather additional information for their study. And, of course, they will tell you if you have irregular heart rhythms to contact your physician. But this is interesting. I mean, this could actually save lives. So I want to encourage everybody, if you have an Apple Watch, you need a Series 1 or later. It won't work with the original Apple Watch. If you have a Series 1 or later, just all you have to do is free download the Apple Heart Study app on your iPhone. It will automatically, set up on your watch, and it's working. And you and I are both contributing to the study.
I loved how easy it was.
Yeah, there's no hardship for you.
You just say yes, yes, yes. You sign some HIPAA stuff, and then you sign with your finger. You don't have to print anything out. You don't have to scan anything. It was super easy, and I feel like this is our good deed for the day. I'm still interested in why I have 8 rhythm data.
Probably because I'm a lot older than you. Because it's not because I work out more than you.
Well,
that's for
it says
sure.
Depending on how active you are, one or more samples may be collected each day. I don't know.
They probably just can't believe how irregular my heartbeat is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's very interesting.
I don't think you can deduce anything from the number, but it's nice to be able to do this.
Well, I want
to
compete with you. So
yeah, you're trying to turn this into
really
a competition.
I'm just trying to figure out a way that I'm better than you.
That's so funny. I think if everybody did this, and I imagine there will be additional things, but this is really the potential of the Apple Watch. If for that alone, just to kind of predict irregular heart rhythms and save lives, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my app of the week. It's my good deed of the week.
Once again, we saved a life today.
I'm not going to shave
tomorrow. We saved many lives.
I'd like to meet that young lady on a bicycle someday.
She's going to love my hair.
I'm telling you, it's why, I mean, why is the, like, you love Aalto's Odyssey. Why is that objectively better somehow? Because you're like racing down the.
It doesn't. So for those of you listening at home, my hat has some interesting properties. It's now an Alec Baldwin hat. So it can go either way. I can be Andre Agassi, like, or I can be Alec Baldwin. Either way. I think we've concluded this episode.
We've saved lives.
Today.
We've learned about some stuff. And we've helped you use your iPad or iPhone more accurately. You've helped us probably use ours. Thank you for writing in. Megan at twit.tv or at Megan Maroney. DM me or tweet at me. Love your feedback. Please correct all the mistakes that Leo made during this show.
Thank you. Leo and, appreciates it.
Watch.
I sincerely do because I don't want to make mistakes. I like to know what the truth is of the matter.
Thanks to Eli, our guest.
That was fun. Mm-hmm. And if you're tuning in late, go back and watch the beginning because there was some great stuff there. iOS Today is recorded in front of a live studio audience of one.
There's two people.
Two of two. Every Tuesday at about 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern.
Three if you count John.
1700 UTC. Although next week, we are springing forward on Sunday. So next week, we will be at 1700 UTC. No, we will be at 1600 UTC. So everybody, when I say that, says immediately emails me saying, Leo, UTC doesn't move. No, but we do. So 1600 UTC will be our new time starting next week and for the summer. If you want to watch live, you can go to twit.tv/live. If you do that, please join us in the chat room. It's nice to be part of the kids in the back of the class at irc.twit.tv. If you'd like to be live in studio, we love having you. All you have to do, and by the way, you can come here and stay for the real show, Mac Break Weekly, which is coming up in moments. That's what you're really here for. I know.
That's what
I know.
For. It's okay. They're here for the podcast, not the variety show.
Yes. Yes. That's right. Yes. You just email tickets at twit.tv. We'll make sure there's a chair out for you. And if you want to get on-demand versions of the show, it's easy enough to do. All you have to go to our website, twit.tv/iOS. We have audio and video. Video is better because then you can see my beautiful hair. But if you can't, or if you want, actually use your podcast app. That's the best way. And then subscribe and you'll get it automatically. Every single episode, of which there are many. Thank you for being here. And we will see you all next week on iOS Today. Bye-bye.